Well, good morning, everybody. How are you this morning? It is so good to see you today. Welcome to Grace. What a beautiful day. I'm feeling a little humid and warm out there, isn't it? Are y'all awake, alive? Just making sure. Yeah, a beautiful day. I want to say thank you to those who are joining us online. We are so glad that you are here. Anybody who may be here today that's new, thank you for your presence here today. You know, you never know who is watching, and I received word this last week that one of our viewers online, who I know from when I was a young man, he passed away. His name is Elvin Brockwell, and he was a faithful viewer online. He lived up in the Virginia area, and we just want Donna and the family to know that our thoughts and prayers are with them, but you never know. And so thank you for your support. Thank you for being here. You never know who is watching and what God is doing. We are wrapping up our series today called Big Questions, and we have been looking at some of the big questions that James asks in his letter that's called James. There is something about a good question that can really get us to stop and think, isn't there? There's something about a good question that can be a conversation starter. Well, James asks some really good, he asks some great questions. He asks some big questions, and his reason for doing that is that he wants to get us to stop and think about what we're doing, why we're doing what we're doing, because that opens our heart to potentially to God's wisdom, which can change the way that we live our lives. And that's important because what drives our behavior is our beliefs. Now, we have a lot of things we say we believe, but it's the things that we really, truly believe that drive our behavior. And James wants to see the behavior of the people that he's writing, these fellow believers, to line up with Christ. So he asks some big questions to challenge them and to open their heart up to the wisdom of God. Now, in the big question we're going to look at today, the final one that we're going to look at today, James is going to do something that some people say ought not be done, which isn't surprising with James. He's going to do something he's going to say something and do something that, in this question that people think ought not be done. He's going to question, he's going to challenge the validity of some people's faith. People who go, I believe in Jesus. And he is going to challenge their faith and point out that their faith isn't really faith at all. And you might think, well, that sounds a little bit like judgment to me, which brings us to last week's question, who are you to judge me? And if you missed last week, you can check it out at trygrace.com, our podcast, and at YouTube channel. So he doesn't implicate anyone directly. He doesn't call out anyone directly, and yet everything he says applies to us today. So as we begin this, let me ask a quick question. When it comes to Band-Aids, we're usually in one of two camps. We're in the rip it off slowly camp, or we're in the just rip it off and be done with it camp. So I want a quick survey here. How many are in the just kind of the slow burn, rip it off slowly camp? If that's you, would you raise your hand? I see a few people. I was figuring it would probably go this way. How many are in the just rip it off and be done with it camp? Yeah, exactly. Well, guess what? You're in good company because that's exactly what James does today. He just rips off this Band-Aid and leaves it just for what it is. He begins and he says in James 2:14, he says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds?" So I want you to immediately know that he's dealing with someone who says they have faith. They are making a claim that they have faith. But what is evident about them is that in spite of whatever claim they might have, there are no deeds to show. Now, this is a question, and this is an important question, but it's a setup for the big question. James is going to ask the big question, and it's a really powerful question. Now, one of the things about this question is that when you hear this question, it's going to make you probably think in one of two ways, because you've probably met someone who said that they had faith. They had faith in Jesus, and or they have some faith, or whatever, maybe faith in a variety of different things. But when you looked at them and you looked at their life, you didn't see any real evidence that they actually believed what they said they believed. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Maybe you've seen someone who says, "I'm a believer in Jesus. I believe in Jesus." And yet when you look at their life, you're going like, you're not so sure about that. And you wouldn't be alone if that's you. And usually what happens in the situation when you see someone who says, I believe in Jesus, but you don't see any evidence of it in their life, you respond one of two ways. The first way you respond is you're like that. You're like, you keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. You know, Jeff Nash, that is a quote from The Princess Bride. I just wanted to be clear on that. That's how you respond. Or the second respond is you're like, you know, it's not my place to judge. I'm just going to keep my head down, my mouth shut. But all the while you're doing that, you're thinking to yourself, you just know it doesn't agree. There's something wrong here. Well, the reason James is asking this big question is to help them to stop to really consider what it means to be a person of faith. What does it look like? And if all you do is claim faith and have no deeds, what good is it? So he brings the boom. He's going to bring the hammer right down here now. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? And listen, this is the big question. Can such faith save him? Can such faith save him? Yes, you claim it. You claim to have faith. And when he's talking about faith here, he's talking about faith, that there is a God. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. You claim that kind of faith, but there are no works. There are no deeds to show that what you say you believe really matters in your life. And so he brings us to a very personal question. And let me just rephrase it for us so it becomes very personal. Can such faith save me? I don't know what the statistic is now. It's 70-some percent, last I heard, of Americans were Christians. Now, I'm just going to ask, I'm not asking you to judge anybody, but if you just take that as an observation, how many believe that actually 70-some percent of Americans are Christians? If you believe that, would you raise your hand? Why? Because there is a big difference in a claim that's made, but there is no evidence to support that claim, isn't there? Isn't that really why? Isn't that really why you don't raise your hand in agreement, yeah, that you believe that? I believe that would be true. Can such faith save me? Can it save me from my sins? Can it make me righteous in God's sight? So it's personal. And what is the understood and clear answer? Can such faith save me? What is the answer to that? No. Y'all are quiet. Come on, speak out. Help me out here. Help me preach a little bit, okay? Can such faith save me? No. Can such faith save you? No. Not at all. You know, if we put it in Monopoly terms, the answer is no. You do not pass go. You do not collect 200s. You go directly to jail. And to add a little spiritual emphasis in it, it simply means that you don't go to heaven, right? So no, the answer is no. That's the clear answer. This is obvious, isn't it? I mean, this is so obvious. We realize this. Someone says, man, the Android phone is the best thing ever, and they walk around using an iPhone. Do you believe what they say? No, because their actions don't align with what they say. And so what James is saying here is so obvious. It's a clear inconsistency and hypocrisy. But why does he spend so much time dealing with this? Well, the answer is simple. It's simply this. It's easy to claim faith. It's easy to say, I believe. I believe in Jesus. I have faith, and you got to have faith, right? I have faith. I believe in Jesus. And once you say that, I believe in Jesus, that becomes like a trump card. You can't say anything about it. You can't say anything to question that because I said I have faith. It is a conversation ender because that means my relationship with God is not only personal, and your relationship with God is personal, but my relationship with God is private, and there is no reason for you to look at me and judge me. I believe in Jesus, trump card. And James says, oh, really? Well, let me take you to school. And he demonstrates the folly of that kind of faith. And he uses a hypothetical situation. Listen to what he says. Suppose, so it is hypothetical. Y'all with me? All right. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? What good is what? That kind of faith. So suppose the hypothetical situation, but if you read a little earlier in chapter 2 here, What you find out is there's a lot going on here between the rich and the poor. The rich have plenty, and you read chapter 5, and he gets really hard on the rich. And the poor are going without. They're being treated wrongly. And so this is a hypothetical situation, but it seems to be grounded in reality. And here's the thing I want you to know about this hypothetical. There's a known person. The person, they know this person. It's a fellow brother or sister. And it is a person not only that is known, it is a need that is known. And it's likely that it's not just a one-time need. It seems to be that this is a daily, ongoing need that is not being met in this person's life. Well, what does love require of us in this situation? How should I, if I claim to have faith in Jesus, how should I respond to this situation? Well, James says, those who claim to have faith say, go, I wish you well, which is just a modern translation for what is known as a biblical blessing that says, go in peace. When Jesus was touched by the woman who had the issue of blood, you may remember this story. She touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. And Jesus is like, who touched me? Who touched me? And she was hidden because she didn't want to be pointed out. And it all ends with her being healed and Jesus saying to her, go in peace. Go in peace. It is a biblical blessing. And so these people who claimed faith were saying, go in peace. I wish you all the best. Best of luck in your situation. I hope things turn out better for you. I hope things get better. Or a real popular one that people have pointed out is thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. Sounds very spiritual, doesn't it? Sounds very pious. And you know, if there's nothing else you can do other than give a biblical blessing, then that's fine. There's nothing more that's required of you. But see, the implication here is that the person who claims to have faith in Jesus has the means and the power to do something to meet this need, to help this person who is lacking. And so James says, what good then is that kind of claim of faith when all you give is a biblical blessing? You cover up your inaction with a biblical blessing. You know, you can put lipstick on a pig and what do you have? A pig, right? It doesn't matter. It's still a pig. And you can claim all the faith you want and you can impart all the pious and spiritual sounding blessings you want. But when it gets down to it, guess what? All you have is a claim of faith. That's the only evidence that you have faith is what you claim. And James asks rightly, can such a faith save you or me? If it doesn't do anything to meet the need of the person, if all you do is mouth words, empty platitudes that sound very spiritual, can such a faith save you or me? And James says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. What James is telling us here is that faith and deeds, faith and good works, were, while they are distinctly different things, they were never meant to be divorced from one another. See, it's possible to claim faith in Jesus and to feel your heartstrings being tugged because of a situation in need. And to look at that and say, you know, I really wish things would get better for this person. You might even write on social media a post about how you had this encounter with this person and how you were just feeling so heartbroken for them and how you wish things would get better for them. You might even create a hashtag that goes viral. But you had the means, you had the ability, you had the power to do something. And if you don't do anything, what good is your faith? If it isn't backed by actions, what good is your faith? If you saw someone, for whatever reason, they're walking down a train track and there is a train bearing down on them, what would be required of you in that situation? To do everything you could to warn them, to let them know. For whatever reason, whatever it is that they are ignorant of the train coming up on them, you would do everything within your power to let them know that they're about to be run over. Because you know when the train, this is simple physics, train hitting a human person, train wins, right? We know this. And so you would do everything within your power to let that person know. Even if you were at a distance, You were far away, and you would be yelling. You would be screaming your actions because what you know is true. You know what's going to happen. You know without a shadow of a doubt that if you don't at least try, that person is going to be killed. You're going to be, even if they can't hardly see you or hear you, you're going to be screaming, "Hey, hey, look out, train!" You would do everything you could, even if they hardly could see you. You wouldn't stand around going, "Hey, go in peace. Trust all will be well with you. Look, you know, keep your eyes open, constant vigilance, thoughts and prayers." You would act on what you know to be true. And you know what faith is? Faith is a declaration of something that you believe to be true. I believe in Jesus. He is the Son of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And when you proclaim faith in Jesus, that he is who he said he is and that he did what he said he was going to do, that has to lead to action, right? Otherwise, do you really believe it? James tells us faith that doesn't act is dead. James anticipates that someone is going to object to what he's saying. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." Is it possible to show that you have faith without deeds? As I said earlier, it is possible, or it is obvious that faith was never meant to be divorced from action. Faith and deeds are supposed to go together hand in hand. And I don't know how it happened, but there is a long history in the church and a long history in through Israel where faith and action did not go hand in hand. This is not a new problem. And a lot of people, or at least some scholars and others, when they have read James, have found themselves in conflict because of what Paul said. Because James emphasized deeds. He emphasizes actions. But Paul emphasizes faith. And so people have sometimes thought that they're at odds, they're in disagreement, there is a contradiction here. And I want you to understand that there is not. We are saved by grace through faith. Paul said it in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. "It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." How are we saved? It's grace through faith, right? That is what saves us. It is a gift of God. It's not something that we do. It's not something that we earn in our own merits because of the good deeds we do. We are saved by grace through faith. But don't miss what Paul says next. And this is what James is emphasizing. He says, "We are God's workmanship." You are God's workmanship. You are created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works. What is James talking about doing? Good works. Because if I have faith in Jesus, I should also be doing good works, good deeds. And guess what? God prepared in advance for us to do this. When he had long planned to save us through Christ, when he had long planned to give us the gift of grace so that we could be justified by faith, God had long planned, long before Jesus ever came, he had already planned and prepared for us that we would do good works as an outflow of our faith in him. James and Paul are not in conflict. They're just dealing with an issue from different sides. Faith and works go hand in hand because good works demonstrate that your faith is genuine. And God created us and he saved us to do good works. Is it possible to show faith without deeds? Listen to what James says here. I want to show something to you. He says, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." Can you show me faith without deeds? Anybody do show and tell when you were in school? When you did show and tell in school, what did you do? You brought something and you told everybody about it. See, you could tell everybody about it all you want, but it wasn't until you showed it, it became a reality, right? It's like my friend, he was a pastor's son. He used to talk about, "Yeah, I went hunting. I got me a deer." I heard this one so many times until I finally called him on it. He said, "But it ran off. I got to go looking for it in the morning. It's cold, so it'll be all right." And I'm like, "Did you find the deer?" "No." Next year, heard the same story. And the next year, heard the same story. And the next year, and I said, hold on, You didn't shoot a deer, did you? And he got a smile on his face, and he's like, no. Show and tell, right? And that's exactly what's supposed to. And James is telling us something that is so simple and yet so profound. He is saying that our faith is meant to be seen. Our faith. Listen, your faith in Jesus is meant to be seen. Yes, your relationship with God is personal, but it's never supposed to be private. You're never supposed to keep it to yourself. It is supposed to be something that shines for the world to see. There is something, there's an amazing story in Luke chapter 5, and maybe you can go and read it a little bit later. But in Luke 5, we find a situation where Jesus is sitting in this house, and the house is crowded. It is full. It is standing room only. But it's not just the house that is crowded. Outside the house, a crowd has gathered and circled around the house because people are trying to just catch a glimpse of Jesus. They are just trying to listen in to what this rabbi from Nazareth is saying. And entering into this scene of crowds is a group of men who are friends of a guy who is a paralytic, who is on a mat, and they are carrying him. And they're coming to Jesus because they know that if they can just get him to Jesus, Jesus can heal this man. That is their faith. But when they get there, they find they can't get through the crowds outside the house, much more inside, getting into the house, because it is so crowded. It is standing room only. And it would have been easy at that point in time for people to have said, you know, well, man, I'm so sorry. We tried. We tried. We came here. And we just can't get you to Jesus. And we just might as well go home. But they were undeterred. Such was their faith. They climbed up on the roof. They opened somebody else's roof. This is so cool. I'm like, who's going to pay for that? That'd be my first thought. And they opened up the roof. And they lowered this man on the mat to sit right in front of Jesus. And Mark has this incredible observation. Listen to what he says. When Jesus saw their faith. Isn't that amazing? When Jesus saw their faith. It was not something that they simply claimed to have. They showed it in what they did, and it was evident. It was a seeable faith. The people around Jesus may not have seen it, but Jesus saw it, and it was evident to him. You know, Jesus says that we are the light of the world. Did you know that? Listen, you're not a flashlight that's supposed to cut on and off. You are the light of the world. And what is a light supposed to do? It is supposed to shine. It is supposed to be set up so it can shine to help everyone see. It's not supposed to be covered. It's not supposed to be hidden. You are a light that is meant to shine. And this is what Jesus says. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before men. How do you do that? He says that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So understand this. Listen, faith is meant to be seen. Faith is meant to be seen. It's supposed to be evident to others. So if you say, I have faith, or you have faith, but I have deeds, that's an absurdity, because faith and deeds go hand in hand, and faith should be evident for all. And so James then offers the absurdity of this kind of idea that you can somehow separate faith and good deeds, good works. And he this time offers a concrete example, not a hypothetical. And this has been, growing up when I first read it, it was one of my favorite passages to quote, to read, to talk about, because we found it humorous. He says, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. What is he saying here? You believe that there is one God. The belief that there was one God was the foundational belief of Jewish life, of the Old Testament, before the commandment to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength was given, before the command was given to love your neighbor as yourself, there was this declaration, a creed, a proclamation of belief that the Jews, the Jewish people were supposed to affirm, and it's in Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema, and it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." So understand what's happening here. The people who are claiming faith are also claiming they have the right doctrine. Do you understand this? They have the right doctrine. They believe that there is one God, and James is happy. They've got the right belief. How many know the right belief is important? Right? You've got to have the right belief. And so he doesn't dismiss them because of their belief, but he dismisses their faith because it is something that is claimed and not something that is lived out. And this is so important. This is what it means for us. Belief in the right creeds is insufficient without deeds. That's what James is going to say here. Belief in the right creeds is insufficient without deeds. And he uses demons to make this point. He says, you believe in God. That's good. You need to believe the right thing. But he goes on and he says, and the demons believe in that. They know that there is only one God. And you know what they do? They shudder, they tremble, they quake, if you will. They pee in their pants at the thought because they know what it means that there's one God. And James says, that's how they respond to that knowledge, to what they know is true. But you claim to know what's true, but it has no impact on your life. So what good is what you claim? And he says in James 2:20, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? And he cites two examples. We're not going to read this part, but he talks about Abraham and Rahab. And both of them demonstrated faith in God that was demonstrated in deeds and what they did and how they lived. And he concludes this passage with this. He says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. I mean, that pretty much says it all, doesn't it? You can claim whatever you want to claim. You can say whatever you want to say. You can hold, you can be sentimental in your spiritual platitudes. You can hold the right beliefs. You can know that these are the right truths, but if you don't have actions, if you don't have deeds to back up what you say you believe, then your faith is dead. Can such faith save me? No. No, it can't. It can't save me, and it can't save you. As I said at the beginning, and we've asked this question, we've said this throughout the whole series, we ask big questions to gain wisdom. Wisdom that will be practical and actionable to our lives. And James asks a big question, as I said. He asks these big questions so that we can gain wisdom, so that we can apply what we learn into our hearts and lives, so that we become more and more like Jesus. And that's evident because he says in James 3:13, he says, who is wise and understanding among you? Listen to what he says. Let him show it. Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So who is wise and understanding among you? He's asking, who is a person who really has genuine faith? They don't just claim it, but they actually have it. He says, you need to show it. It needs to be seen by others. You need to demonstrate it so that people will see your good life and deeds, but they are done in humility because of wisdom. And it reminds us that we are called to be people who are light, who do good deeds. As believers in Jesus, good deeds should be a part of us. But it's a reminder that we don't brag about how good we are. That's not why we do good deeds. It's not about how good we are. It's not about putting the spotlight on us and say, look at me, look at my good deeds, and, you know, hey, all hail me. Not at all. We do it because Jesus is good. And we do it because we want to put the spotlight on our Father in heaven so that all the praise goes to him, not us. You know, Jesus said it best. He said, let your light shine. So what I want to encourage you today is this. If you believe in Jesus, maybe you've said that you believe in Jesus, but you really haven't. You've got the right beliefs. You know that Jesus is the Son of God, but maybe you really haven't acted. That faith hasn't been activated in terms of how you live and what you do. I want to encourage you today with the words of Jesus, who said, let your light shine. Let your light shine. As you walk out these doors today, let your light shine. With your spouse, with your children, with your parents, with your neighbors, at work, as you drive down the road, as you have opportunity, let your light shine. Because you're not a flashlight meant to cut on and off. Your light is supposed to be ongoing, burning brightly for all the world to see, so that men and women, boys and girls, will see our good works, and then they will praise and glorify and honor our Father in heaven. Let your light shine. And it has to be done in wisdom and humility, the humility that comes from wisdom, because arrogance can take the best deed. It can take the very best deed and destroy any good it could accomplish. So today, let your light shine. Be people of faith. Be people who live a good life as God has called us to in Christ. Be people who do deeds so that people may see our works and then glorify our Father in heaven. Don't just be someone who claims it. Be someone who demonstrates it in their life. Amen? Amen. I want to pray for you today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We are saved by grace through faith. And we freely admit that it's not because of any good that we have done. Our righteousness comes by faith because of what Jesus did for us. We can never lean on our own good works and somehow feel like that because of those things alone that we are right in your sight. We are right in your sight because of the good work that Christ did for us on the cross. You sent him because you loved us and you gave your Son. And we have put our faith and our trust in him. And because of that, we are made right with you. But our faith should lead to action. Our faith should lead to good deeds, because faith and deeds were never intended to be isolated. We're never intended to be divorced. We are saved to good works. As Paul said, the only thing that counts is faith that expresses itself in love. And if love is not in action, it's not love. So I ask and pray that you would help us today to love as you have loved us, to live out our faith in front of others, that our faith would shine so that people will see our good works, the deeds that we do, done in humility, not to bring the spotlight on us, but God, that it will be done to put the spotlight on you, our Heavenly Father, and they will praise you for it. I pray for your blessings upon your people, and I thank you for them. Thank you for this opportunity that we've had together today. This wonderful series with big questions. Continue, we pray, to work in our hearts and lives to make us more like Jesus. We pray in his name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.